Now, communion, you know, it's not a religious ceremony, is it? It's not a way that we impress God because we took some bread and some grape juice. You know, it's not a way for us to earn His favor. It's not a way for us to change. It's not a way for us to become more religious. You know, I hate religion. I hope you do too. Paul described it as poop, didn't he, in Philippians chapter 3. He said, it's dung. Everything that I had is dung. You know, of course, we sanitize it in our Bibles because that's not a very polite way of saying it. But religion stinks, doesn't it? I hate it because what it does is it gives people an idea that they're getting close to God when actually they're getting closer to hell. Religion is a lie. It's a sham from the devil. And we're not religious people, are we? We're lovers of Jesus. And when we commune with Him, commune, it just means to share, doesn't it? To share our hearts with Him, and He shares His heart with us. I mean, it's linked to the word communicate, or koinonia is the Greek word. Not that I'm any kind of scholar, but, you know, you can look at these things up, you know. But communion has to do with sharing. We're sharing our hearts with Him, and He's sharing His heart with us. We're not impressing Him because we're doing it, you know. He's already been impressed with Himself, which is good. Then we don't have to impress Him, right? We're free. We're open to do what Tom's urged us to do this morning. This is exactly the thing that was on my heart this morning, is that, Lord, I want more of You. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. You've done so much, Lord. I'm not the person that I used to be. But God, there's a feeling in my heart that there's more. There's so much more that You want for me. There's so much more territory that You have. If we think of the Israelites, when they went into the promised land, there was the great deliverance through Jordan, wasn't there? The second baptism, as it were, through the river. And God said, go, you know, Joshua is your leader. He's the type of Christ. And then they had to go, didn't they? And had to possess the land. And God says, I've given you all this land. Now go get it. Now, how does that work? You know, God says, I've done all this for you. In fact, I'm going to drive out. There's a portion, isn't there, in the beginning of Joshua where God says, I'm going to drive out all these enemies. Now you go do it. Right? And that's our part, isn't it? God's done all this incredible, amazing work for us on the cross. He's defeated our enemies. He's broken the power of sin. He's destroyed Satan. He's risen from the dead. He defeated death. Now He says, now, go and possess the land. Go and do the things that I've called you to do. And of course, the Holy Spirit is that great Spirit that drives us. Right? That's what in Luke chapter 4, we might look at a few of those verses, but it says the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the desert. He drove Him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to get a hold of us and drive us so that we let go of the wheel and God begins to take over. Amen. I hope you're willing to let the Holy Spirit do that. You're not one of these people that likes to be in the driving seat all the time. You know, you want God to be in the vehicle. You want Him to sit by you and feel close to Him. But you want to hang on to the wheel. You can't do that. Right? You can't serve two masters. When we come to God, we're communing with the Creator of the universe. One who was and is to come. And He's in charge. You know, as Paul says, what right does the pottery vessel have to say to the potter, why did you make me this way? I mean, how many of us have said that to God? I know I've said it. In fact, the last week I was just having a rather intense conversation with the Lord and saying, God, why did you make me this way? I don't want to be this way. I don't want to worry about these things. God says, I've got a new identity for you, and it's in me. You know, so that our old dies away and we walk in that new life that God has for us. Amen. And that's the wonderful thing about communion, is that we're just sharing with Jesus. We're just saying, Lord, have Your way in my life. I don't want religion. I don't want my old carnal, self-fleshy way. I want You, Lord. I want to just say this morning that as I take communion, I'm making a covenant with You to say, Lord, have Your way in my life. In this portion in Zechariah, there's some interesting things. I believe that the Lord really spoke to me about this morning when we were praying early on, about how the accuser comes in. And then, you know, Tom read that portion from Revelation 12 was exactly what was on my heart. And in verse 2, Let's start in verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, chapter 3 of Zechariah. Sorry, chapter 3 of Zechariah. Zechariah is one of those books that's kind of hard to find, isn't it? It's just right towards the end of the Old Testament. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" And you know, that's us, isn't it? We are Jerusalem. We are God's habitation. And there's an accuser who comes and says, "Oh, you're not worthy. You're not worthy to take communion. I mean, just think about the week you just had. Or think about the feelings that you've been experiencing. Or think about the person that you are. You'll never be different. You're not worthy to take it." I'm sure that I'm not the only one. Right? Satan doesn't change his tactics, does he? Right? Jesus said he's an accuser. He's been an accuser from the beginning. He's a liar and the father of lies. Right? And the enemy comes in to accuse. Revelation chapter 12. It's very, very clear. He's been cast down on the earth and his time is short and his wrath is great. And he's trying to overwhelm God's people, Jerusalem. And the Lord says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." I believe that God needs to rebuke Satan in some of our lives. That God needs to take his authority and cast out, drive out the enemy. Drive out the accuser. One who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Drive him out. Let him be gone in the name of Jesus. Is this not a brand that was plucked from the fire? I mean, that's us, isn't it? We're a brand, a stick that's been plucked out from the fire that was going to consume us. Now, God's redeemed us and called us by name and put our feet upon a rock. Verse 3, now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And again he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with festal robes, robes of rejoicing." Amen. This is what God wants to do for us. "I've taken your iniquity away." It's a picture of the cross, the blood of Jesus. "And I will clothe you. I'll put new clothes on you. Robes of righteousness. Clean clothes. Not the old clothes that you've been living in, but new, righteous, holy garments. So that you can walk and live in this new life. Verse 5, "And then I said, let them put on a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. Verse 6, "And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua." This is what the Lord says to us. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, walk in my ways. If you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and will have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access." Free access among those who are standing here. And then if we just, there's a lot in here, but we're just going to go down to verse 6 in chapter 4. And there's a branch and there's a wonderful picture of two olive trees that are giving off oil. And then in verse 6, "He answered me and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by your own endeavors, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain?" What's the great mountain in your life? You know, what's the great mountain that you're facing? "Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth a top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Isn't that wonderful that God's work is grace in our lives? So as we take communion this morning, I want to encourage you that if there's a mountain that you're facing, the enemy's accusing, if there's trials, then just come and bring them to Jesus and you ask him. Say, "Lord, I want you to take care of this." You know, a lot of times sin brings us into trouble, doesn't it? A lot of times the trials we face are of our own making and doing. And God says, "I can move the mountains." I'm just going to read from Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, and this is in the Amplified So it might be a little bit different to your Bible, but it's really good to read. Sometimes good to read familiar passages in a different version to sort of bring it in a fresh way. So verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, this cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, to call me affectionately to remembrance. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. Verse 27, so then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man and a woman thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done this, so he should eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict of judgment upon himself. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. For if we have searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own conditions, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. Now what that means is that as we take communion, that we search our hearts, we examine ourselves before the Lord. And we don't want to take it in a careless or an unworthy fashion. So that we're not just presuming upon God's grace, but we're asking the Lord to search our hearts and being willing to confess any known sin, being willing to set things right one with each other if we need to, so that we take the cup and we eat the bread in a worthy fashion, knowing that our goodness and our righteousness is a gift from the Lord. Not becoming righteous because we take it, but taking it seriously and asking the Lord to search us and make sure there's nothing unclean, there's no barrier in our heart between us and the Lord. So it's a serious thing. You know, it says, doesn't it, in that verse, that if we take it carelessly, it's the reason many of you are weak and sickly. And some of you have even died. You know, it's a serious thing, isn't it, to do business with God. You know, and I believe that what Tom shared is what the Lord's saying this morning, that there's more. But we've got to be willing to lay aside our sin. You know, like Tom shared, we've got to be willing to lay aside our differences. And maybe the way that we've hurt and we've annoyed one another over the years. God says, no. Now this is a new day, a new time. I can minister my spirit to every heart. Come with an open heart, an open life. Being willing for the Lord to search out sin and fill us with the Holy Spirit again. We know in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came that they were all with one accord. You know, God wants us to be united together, not around a doctrine or a teaching, but around Jesus, around Him. You know, we might see things a little bit differently. You know, we might not always agree on every little part of doctrine, but we need to agree that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And it's Him we gather around. We don't gather together because we're all of the same bent. We're all of the same theological persuasion. We gather because we're followers of Jesus Christ. And He's our Lord and Master. We're willing to obey Him, whatever He asks us to do. So I want to urge you, if you're a Christian, if you love the Lord, you're welcome to join us in communion. But you have to be willing to let Him search your heart. And even if you're not willing, He's going to do it anyway. Because if you take it unworthily, He's going to judge you. And so it's a serious thing. So if you love the Lord, you're very, very welcome to participate with us in communion. But let's ask the Lord as we take the bread and the grape juice and the wine, that God would really do this filling work in our hearts. You know, our body's going to absorb those elements, isn't it? And those parts, that food's going to be absorbed by our body, just like the Holy Spirit needs to be absorbed into our spirit and that new life reigning within us. Amen. I urge you to really do business with God this morning as we take communion. And the brothers are going to just hand out the bread. And so what we usually do is we wait until everybody has it. They'll pass it on from row to row. And we'll just we'll wait up. And as they're passing them around, let's just seek the Lord. Just urge you to close your eyes and just really get your heart focused on the Lord. And just ask the Lord, Lord, will you search me and see if there be anything within me that needs to be set right? And come with a willing attitude to set things right with the Lord this morning. Oh, Father, Father, we thank you for these wonderful symbols of you, your Son, Lord, given over. Lord, as we break the bread, Lord, it symbolizes how your body was broken. Lord, as we drink this wine, Lord, it symbolizes the blood of Jesus shed for us. Lord, as we've sung and rejoiced, Lord, the power of the cross, Lord, the wonderful blessing of a life, God surrendered to death, being willing, Lord, to die for people like us. We are so thankful. We pray, Lord, as we take communion this morning, that you would search our hearts, Lord. We want to be clean, Lord. We want to be a people whose hearts are right with you and right with each other. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.